Good morning, Charveston, Caldecott, and Charleston Rise. It's Thursday, the 11th of June, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Well, what a lovely reaction to yesterday's podcast about our clerk, Mark Hunter. I had lots of public and private messages, both in WhatsApp, email, and text. Some people hadn't realised what Mark does behind the scenes. Others have known it for ages, and they were delighted to see that this was being publicly acknowledged at last. Well, let me tell you, folks, I've been trying to do that for a long time. For the 12 years I was chairman, I would stand at the front of the annual parish assembly and tell all residents what a great asset we had in Mark Hunter. Unfortunately, Mark writes the minutes of those meetings, and so my thanks and praise were never properly recorded. So yesterday was my chance to set the record straight, my first chance to speak without Mark being able to intervene. I was expecting a call or email from Mark at around 9 a.m. yesterday when he normally listens in. However, it was Sue's first day back at work, so they didn't listen in until lunchtime. I eventually got a classic Mark email at around 2 p.m. "That was a bit OTT," he said. "A clerk is only as good as the councillors who set the policy and make the decisions. If the councillors are set on becoming a vicar of Dibley Council, then no clerk is going to get any changes made." Well, let me tell you, folks, we were once a vicar of Dibley Council. We even had a character going, "Yes, yes, 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 no." But Mark and I set about working together to change that. It was an interesting partnership, and still is, to be honest. I like winging it and taking the big leaps, and usually in public, and often without thinking it through first. Mark is always paddling furiously behind the scenes to provide the legal framework that made these things happen. We did have a few run-ins, though. In 2012, I think, the council was seeking to become accredited as a quality parish council. This scheme aimed to mark out those councils with the highest levels of governance and competence. If you achieve that accreditation, then new powers and possibly new funds became available. So we were going for it. Mark produced a huge and detailed dossier of evidence showing our policies and procedures, and demonstrating the positive impact that we were having on the parish. Mark and I then had to attend an inquisition at Lichborough on the other side of Northampton by the Northamptonshire Association of Local Councils. The examiner quickly picked up that I'd had no formal training as a councillor. When I started in 1996, this training didn't even exist, and when it was introduced, I rather arrogantly refused to attend. I looked at all the materials and decided that it would drive me nuts all day listening to it. So the examiner grilled me incessantly on council policies, procedures, and on all the laws pertaining to councils. Even I was surprised with the responses I gave. I hadn't realised quite how much I'd absorbed over the years, especially after Mark came along and formalised things. So the examiner was satisfied, and he commented on our successful partnership and how lucky our council was to be working in a parish that appreciated it. It was at that point that I opened my mouth and I jumped right in. I told the examiner that the best thing was that Mark worked for free, and this made the job so much easier as a councillor. Oops, the temperature of the room seemed to drop instantly, and Mark actually gave me a sharp kick under the table. I bet that's the first and only time he's ever physically assaulted a councillor. Fortunately, I'm very quick thinking on my feet, and I spotted something was probably wrong. So I reached across for the finance records in the evidence folder and said, "Let me explain." I showed him that the council properly accounted for the true salary that the clerk should be paid, but that each quarter the clerk donated his salary back to the council. More questions followed, but we eventually established that the council wasn't behaving illegally. It was simply a clerk behaving in an extraordinary manner. So the examiner was relieved and convinced, and as we shook hands, gosh, can you remember when we used to shake hands? He wished us good luck and said he would be recommending our accreditation at the highest levels possible. I was much relieved. Can you imagine the car journey home if my intervention had actually cost us the accreditation? Well, on the national stage, we're by no means at the end of this epidemic, but the economic data is becoming much clearer. The UK is indeed sliding inexorably towards the worst recession in its history. So stark choices now face the government: save lives or save futures. To be clear, in my view, we shouldn't be in this position, but we are where we are, and nothing can change that now. Yesterday was actually a good performance by the Prime Minister. He certainly has the oratory skills to talk to us well, but sometimes the planning behind these messages and the strategy leaves something to be desired. From Monday, big changes have been made. Non-essential businesses can reopen if they're COVID-19 secure, and this is indeed excellent news. It includes those external attractions that have been really struggling recently. More importantly, social bubbling has now become part of the UK government policy, and that'll be welcome news to many households in the village. The future for pubs, restaurants and hairdressers is still on hold until the 4th of July, but if the data continues to show improvements, then this is probably the date that we would expect these to open in some form. Michelle and the team are working hard to plan the reopening of the church for private prayer, but this certainly won't be next Monday as the government announcement came far too late, the end of last week. So as we move towards the end of our emergency provision, there are a few loose ends to tie up in the village. I've now contacted most of the households being supported by volunteers, and we're sorting out a safe way forward for them. I've had two volunteers to administer the WhatsApp group from next Monday, one from Chelveston and one from Chelston Rise. Both of these people are well respected, and I'm happy to hand over this responsibility. But if anyone else has the burning desire to share the load, then please let me know. Sarah Stops has announced the winding up this weekend of the book swap facility she's been running on Water Lane. She's happy for anyone else to take it on, but otherwise she'll be donating the books to four charity shops once they reopen. Similarly, I have a large pile of puzzles in my office. If anyone would like theirs back, please let me know. If anybody would like to have any of the puzzles, let me know. Otherwise, they too will go to a charity shop. In tomorrow's podcast, I'll be announcing the detailed arrangements for our Scarecrow Festival, the safe routes, and what timings they'll be. Carol and the team have been working hard to plan all of this, all around the registered entries. We've got 21 of those. And meanwhile, Pete the Wurzel Rawlins will be still trying to get his tractor on the road so that he can tour the village, entertaining us all in aid of charity. Only in Chelston-cum-Corkwood would there be such dedication and such great characters. Thank you.